There is a new faculty of pain medicine in Australasia. Well, if it's not new, the dean is. He's Dr. Kieran Davis. He's a New Zealander. He's on the line now. Kia ora, Kieran. Welcome to Nights.
Kia ora, Brian. Thank you very much for having me on the show. A great intro. Great song.
Yeah, it is a great song. Is the faculty itself new?
No, we've been around for about 24 years. It was founded in the late 90s. So we're part of the College of Anesthesia, which is based in Melbourne.
Right, so it's Australasian, has its base in Melbourne. Are there offices in New Zealand as well, or will you be working in Australia?
No. There's an office in Wellington, and I'll be carrying on working here in Auckland and a day a week living on Zoom to Melbourne.
What's your professional background, Kieran?
I'm an anaesthetist by training, who kind of halfway through my career decided to have a go at pain medicine and try and help people who suffer from chronic pain.
Pain, I guess this is a really basic understanding, is a symptom rather than the cause, is it not, most of the time?
Absolutely, it is a symptom and not the cause. But the problem is the impact it has on people. You know, that you suffer from chronic pain. On average, it takes about 3 years to get to a pain clinic. It affects your ability to sleep, to work, your income, your family, your friends. Your world becomes very, very narrow.
When you say chronic pain, what do we mean by chronic pain? I know people get probably ask you this a lot, but what's your definition?
Technically, pain that is with you for more than 3 months of the year.
Is it pain that has an explanation?
Usually not. Pain that can be treated by surgery or, you know, easy pharmacology will often go away. But for 1 in 20 of the population, they get pain that doesn't go away. And they have to learn how to live with it. And we have to try and help them live with it.
1 in 20 right now in the population, say, of New Zealand?
Yep, 1 in 20 of the population of New Zealand.
Okay, we're talking about tens of thousands of people then.
Yep. The vast majority of people are managed by their GPs, or they cope and manage themselves. They get on with life, they get on with work, and you wouldn't know about it. They just, you know, you can't see their pain and they don't show it. But for the people that do, it is pretty devastating.
What sort of condition does somebody have to be in this country to actually get seen by a specialist in a pain clinic?
The commonest cause is back pain. Often people have had surgeries, 1, 2, 3 back surgeries, and they've not got better from it. A day in pain clinic is a day of listening to stories of people's lives falling apart. And it is variable. You know, where you live can really impact on whether you can get to a pain clinic or not. In the smaller DHBs don't have a pain clinic, and people are just managed by their GPs the best that they can.
You said 3 years on average to find average. For somebody whose suffering continues. So maybe if after a year or two, if somebody's lucky enough to find a way of either managing their pain so it doesn't really bother them anymore, or finding a solution, a way out of the pain, then they don't end up going to a pain clinic. But it's what, about 3 years if it carries on before you're likely to get seen?
On average.
So how much variation there, Kieran, between one part of the country and another?
In the smaller DHBs, you're going to be, you know, without a pain clinic. You may never get to the pain clinic. We don't know. In Auckland, you know, there's better access to pain clinic and you may get seen sooner, dependent on whether your GP or your orthopedic surgeon refers you on.
Is that satisfactory for you, Kieran?
No, it's awful. It's absolutely awful. We've been working with the Ministry of Health to try and improve it. And that actually came from the Ministry of Health coming to us and going, you know, we need to help people. We need to improve the services for New Zealanders. And hopefully within a month or two, there'll be a plan. And hopefully with the new health authority coming out, that plan will be accepted. and we'll be able to provide pain clinics to all DHBs.
Because if we're talking about 1 in 20, and okay, maybe not everybody exhibits that, and maybe not everyone is affected that much, but have you got any idea for those with serious pain, if you add them all up and what they can't do anymore, how much that's costing us as a country?
I haven't got the numbers on my fingers, but it's a lot of money in lost hours and disability. I know many years ago, about 15 years ago, one of an administrator, senior advisor at the Ministry of Social Development came to me and went, "We've talked to GPs and we tried to find out why they're signing sick notes. And we thought it would be cardiac and we thought it'd be obesity." He said, 30% of it's chronic pain. What can we do? And I kind of restarted the conversation, and then there was an election and everything fell over and I heard nothing more. But, you know, 30% of people on long-term disability is because of chronic pain.
What election was that, by the way, Kieran?
I can't remember.
Okay, because I'm just thinking whether we're going back, what, 4 years or 7 years, depending on the election cycle.
I think it was the end of Helen Clark, beginning of John Key.
Oh, my goodness. The we're talking about 15 years ago now.
I've been around too long.
Yeah, haven't we all? Especially, but, yeah. You know, some of us don't have to deal with chronic pain. How many people would you see at the pain clinic in a day who've got stories of, oh, well, I just can't do that anymore. I can't work anymore because it's too sore.
We are very fortunate in a pain clinic in that when I see a new patient, I get an hour and a half. And I also get to have a psychologist, a clinical psychologist, sit beside me and we listen to the whole story. We start at the beginning. When did the pain start? How did it start? You know, how have you coped? Who said what to you? Who's treated you in what way? What has worked, what hasn't worked, and listen to their story and look for bits within their story which can help us help them.
We're listening to Nights on RNZ National. I'm talking to Dr. Kieran Davis. He's the new Dean of the Faculty of Pain Medicine, the Australasian Faculty of Pain Medicine. Kieran, you talked about a plan maybe to go with the introduction of the new health authorities around the health reforms this current government is putting in place. Now, I'm guessing that that's not finalised, but what are some of the things you're hoping to see in that plan?
Oh, what would be great is, you know, people are best treated locally. You know, if you've got a, you know, the proverbial bad back, travelling from Whanganui to Auckland isn't a good idea. It's going to be very painful. It's going to make things a lot worse. So if we've got a pain clinic, small functioning pain clinic in the centres around New Zealand that can treat people locally when they need to move them on, they need to be able to move them on efficiently so that patients can flow through a system rather than at the moment they either don't get treated or, you know, flow is very clunky. The systems aren't efficient currently. So, basically treating people locally and referring them on when needed.
If I decided, if I had medical insurance and I get a sore back, have I got a much better chance of getting treatment then by going private? Will I be fine? I won't have to wait 3 years.
No, not really. There are a few good private pain clinics. I could think of TBI in Wellington. TBI in Auckland are a good unit. But even they know when they reach their limit and they try and refer on to the tertiary centres in the public sector. And being quite honest, I think the better treatment centres are in the public sector. In Auckland, in Wellington, in Christchurch.
If you first started having a conversation along the lines of we need to do something better to deal with, and what I imagine even back then was a large number of a backlog of people not being treated for their pain and not being able to work, and what are obvious then economic and social consequences, way back at the end of the Helen Clark government, why has it taken so long? Why is it that we don't seem to recognise pain as being a real downer for both society and the economy?
That's a really good question, Brian. It's easy to focus on fixing. You know that if an orthopedic surgeon says to you, "I can fix your back," or "You can come to pain clinic and they'll help you to live with it," I know which choice I'd make. You know, fix it if you can. But talking to people, helping people, supporting people, doesn't catch the headlines. It doesn't catch the Ministry of Health's goals. I don't know. We've struggled. I've talked to several ministers of health and advisors, and you know, this current government and a chap called Martin Chadwick are the ones who've actually taken it up and said we need to do something here.
Because maybe that those who control the purse strings and our representatives in government believe that really we can solve the pain problem if we can put more money into hip replacements or knee joint replacements or back surgery, and that's the way out of this problem?
I think that's the perception. Pain services are not a core service within the DHBs. DHBs do not have to provide a pain clinic. And if they don't have to do it, a lot of DHBs decide they won't do it because it'll cost some money. There's been no edict from the Minister of Health to say they have to do it, so they don't do it.
Do we have more chronic pain now than we used to, Kieran?
A little bit. The Mental Health Survey has had chronic pain as one of its questions for quite some time, and I think it's gone up from 18 to 20%, whether that's a statistical variation or an actual variation, it's hard to say over time, but it's increased a little bit.
But not, I would have thought, I mean, a small increase, but not maybe a significant increase, because I thought you would maybe say that there has been an increase. So it's, for you, the issue is not so much that more people are presenting with this, but it's just we are not dealing with it, and so the backlog is getting greater?
The backlog is there. There are people suffering in chronic pain who cannot access services and can't get helped and can't move on with their life. We don't have any visibility of what the backlog is, unfortunately.
And the causes of chronic pain can what be many and varied?
Many and varied from, you know, chronic migraines, chronic back pain, chronic hand and foot pain, nerve damage. Severe nerve damage is a horrendous condition, such as, you know, somebody coming off their motorbike and ripping the nerves out of from their arm into their neck can suffer horrendous pain for the rest of their life. Or phantom limb pain, when you have a limb chopped off and the limb that is no longer there is still painful. So very varied.
The reason I asked that question is whether if there are some things that we can isolate and say, right, these are some of the reasons we get chronic pain, such as, is it a consequence that we have an aging population? That's one possibility that comes into my head.
Older people, we don't see a huge number of older people. Older people do suffer chronic pain and suffer more pain than younger people. That is an unmet need. They generally do not get referred to pain clinic in the numbers you'd expect. Why? I don't know.
The other thing I wonder about is whether our generally sedentary lifestyle, the fact that here I am right now talking to you sitting at a desk, and that's how I do most of my work, sitting down. Some people these days in offices stand up. Some people have various devices that they might allow them to move around, like a surfboard with its sides pushed up, which they balance on. But generally, we don't move around a lot. Is there a link between that and chronic pain?
There is. People who are physically fit and strong cope better with chronic pain. People who are doing regular exercise, keeping their body fit and healthy, definitely do better. But New Zealand's a country of active people, a lot of physical labor. And that can also be, a lot of the people we see are blue collar workers who work in physical labor, who've fallen here, hurt themselves there. And their chronic pain is from heavy manual use.
For you then, Kieran, what you're doing, your work is as much not necessarily about getting rid of the pain, but about managing it as much so that one can go back as much as possible to living a reasonably full life and not a life that's constantly, where you constantly have to say, no, I can't do that because it'll hurt too much.
Yeah, they kind of, when you come into chronic pain, they tell you that you'll have three people in your career that you'll relieve all of their pain. The rest, you'll be helping them live with their pain.
Right.
And people who physically function more, if you can get people physically active, understanding their pain, re-engaged in employment if possible, re-engaging in their social life, cope better and have a life back that they have lost.
In the United States, and I don't really know whether it's become an issue here, I just don't know, but there was that almost epidemic of people becoming addicted to painkillers they could purchase at the shop. And I wonder whether that was partly out of people self-medicating. Is that an issue here in New Zealand?
Nowhere nearly to the degree in America. We did a review in our clinic of number of patients coming in on opiates, and it was around 15%. And that was down from 5 years earlier when it was 20. Talking to Australian colleagues, it's about 80. And talking to American colleagues, it's all of your patients are on an opiate when they come to your pain clinic.
Really? Why? So why are we stauncher than the Aussies and the Americans?
I'd like to say good medicine. You know, a lot of good GPs, a lot of good ED doctors and pain doctors who have gone, it doesn't work, because it doesn't work. Opiates, if you've got a pain, the illusion is they work for a short period of time, so that for the first few weeks, few months, you'll go, yay, I've got something that's really working for me. 6 months down the line, you're pretty much back at square one. And within a year or two, you're looking for more higher dosage. And it's an illusion. And then it doesn't work long term, unfortunately. And the doctors here, the GPs, the ED doctors, the pain doctors have come to the conclusion, we're not going down that line.
You mentioned, Kieran, that if you're fit and active, you're much less likely to have chronic pain. Was that, did I understand that right?
I think if you're fit and active, you cope better if you do have chronic pain.
Okay.
A lot of people who are very fit and active hurt themselves quite a bit as well. So I think it's I don't think it protects you, but I think it's a good mechanism of controlling it.
The reason I come back to that is because there's also a significant proportion of the population in New Zealand which is obese. And is obesity often associated with people having chronic pain that is harder to deal with?
Obesity doesn't cause chronic pain, but if you have chronic pain and you have, raised BMI, it's harder to manage because, if we go back to the bad back, if you've got a bad back and you're larger, it is far harder to function day to day around the house, to get out of the house, to do the shopping, to just generally look after yourself because of the weight on your back. But weight itself does not cause chronic pain.
Do we spend enough in this country on dealing with obesity?
Not my area of expertise. I do, outside of my anaesthetic practice, actually, I do bariatric anaesthesia. I think, obesity is a major health issue. Not my area of expertise, but we need to be spending more on it.
I guess the thing is whether it's better to spend it there or spend it on chronic pain, because there's only so much money to go around.
There is only so much money to go around, and I think we should be spending it on both. I think if you were going to say bariatrics or chronic pain, my personal opinion would be chronic pain. I think you can live being a larger person, but I'd prefer to live as a larger person than suffer in chronic pain for the rest of my life.
How hopeful, Kieran, are you that out of the health reforms of this current government, there'll be some recognition for what you think is something that's missing at the moment in our health system?
I'm moderately positive. We weren't given any guarantees by the Ministry of Health that the model of care that we were looking at producing would be funded at the end of it. But we're dealing with intelligent people in the ministry, and I'm feeling positive. And if not, then we will carry on advocating. I've been here a while doing this, and I'll keep doing it.
I guess there's this part of me that's wondering, is the government seems to be putting all its faith in, if we could just reorganize this system, we can make it work better and it can achieve the outcomes it needs to achieve. But they're not talking about putting more resources. It's just like, if we can redesign it, then we'll get the results. But I just don't know if it's as simple as that. The health system is short of money, isn't it?
We get very good healthcare for the money that we spend on healthcare in New Zealand. For, you know, for head of population, we spend a lot less than people do in Australia, in America, in Europe. And we've got a lot of dedicated professionals providing the best healthcare they can. You can always spend more money on healthcare. And I think that's a decision politicians have to make. How much do they want to spend? How much do people want to spend in their taxes on healthcare? And where to allocate it? It's not a simple answer. You can always spend more on healthcare.
Mm. Yes, would you happily pay more tax if you knew it was going to go back to healthcare?
Yeah, happy.
Kieran, when will you know? I guess, like everybody else, is waiting to see what final shape these health reforms will take.
Yeah, well, we've got to get our plan out. I've got to get that finished and accepted. And I think the reforms are being announced at the beginning of July. I think most people's expectation is that it'll be a lot of noise and not much action initially, you know, that we won't change what we're doing day to day within the hospitals, and over time things will change. But we will read the documents as they come out, and if we're not there, we will knock on the door and advocate further.
Is there anything you'd really like to achieve in your time as Dean of the Faculty of Australasian Faculty of Pain Medicine?
I think getting this implemented in New Zealand would be the biggest thing for me. To have a system of healthcare for chronic pain patients where there's equity wherever you live would be huge. You know, that's not available in Australia. It's not available anywhere that I know of. And I think that would be more than I could hope for.
Kieran, it's been great talking with you this evening. Thanks very much for your time.
Great. Thank you very much.
That's Dr. Kieran Davis. He's an anaesthetist, but he's also the new dean of the Australasian Faculty of Pain Medicine. It's based in Melbourne, but also has offices in Aotearoa, New Zealand.